Hi, Fullcast friends. It's your bloomin' boy, Ryan Nanny here, bringing you a very special episode of The History of Fun, a podcast from our buddies over at Polygon. Why are we bringing you this? Well, you may remember that there used to be a video game simulator of college football called NCAA Insert Year Here. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but there's actually a pro football version of this game as well called, John Madden Football. Yes, that's correct. History of Fun is going to tell you all about the origins of the Madden series, including the fact that John Madden himself could have made a shitload of money off of this game and just didn't, because he didn't feel like it. We hope you like the episode, and if you do, subscribe to the History of Fun for even more explorations of the things you love.
Hello and welcome to the History of Fun, where we explore the hidden backstories behind the things you love to do. My name is Russ Rushtick, and today I'm joined by Allegra Frank. Hey, Allegra.
Hello, Russ.
How are you doing?
I am very awake, as always.
As always, very awake. Mm-hmm. If it seems like Allegra is sleepy for three consecutive episodes, there's no reason that's the case. We're also joined by Chris Plant. Hey, Chris.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
You know, I'm doing well.
Chris, whenever it's your episode, I feel like I have to walk on eggshells to make sure that I don't accidentally reveal the subject that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And this episode is no different.
The subject. So an elevator pitch. There is a curse on millionaires. A Super Bowl winning football coach whose biggest regret is not buying stock options. And a man named Tripp.
Is that short for anything?
Tripptholomew,
yeah.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, I think that's it. Anyway, so this is the story of Madden, NFL football. You're in the game.
EA Sports. It's in the Madden.
Yeah, sure. So we're going to start this by talking about Tripp Hawkins. And just so everybody's on the same page, this is not a full history of like everything Madden, because that would be a book. We're going to just talk about kind of the origin
story.
This is chapter one of the Madden book. Welcome to episode one of our new Madden podcast, one of 32 unlimited series. Brought to you by Serious? Activision. Twist, we're gonna dunk on it. Makes no sense. Activision has nothing to gain. Tripp Hawkins. He's born in 1953. And they're like, what will we name this child? And they're like, Tripp Hawkins. And they're like, perfect. That is a great name.
His last name, the parents' last name wasn't even Hawkins. They just thought it was like a perfect name.
Absolutely
fit.
Not. They were Bart and Bartha Brown. He is born to them. He's all fun fact, not everything in this episode is true. He is a technology savant, an aspiring business person at a very young age.
As a baby.
As a wee babe. He's also a football obsessive, but he's a nerd. And I say that like I'm a nerd. Like, it's 2018. Nerds are cool. Have you seen Big Bang?
BBT.
BBT. Do you watch BBT? Do you even watch BBT? He loves the 1967 game Strat-O-Matic, which is kind of like D&D. It's just like a tabletop game, but for football.
I've played Strat-O-Matic. It's
really?
I thought it was for baseball. Maybe both?
I think there's a football version.
There's definitely a baseball one as well. It's actually pretty interesting. The best way I can describe it is like, yeah, as you said, it's like D&D. So you have like actual players based on real players, and you would like roll dice to like see if they got a hit or something. It was like,
and they had advantages like in buffs, right?
Yeah, like one would be good at stealing bases, or one based on their like real world stats. It was pretty interesting.
There you go.
Dorky as hell, but interesting.
It might have been the baseball thing, but anyway, he loves football. So yes. This is from a very good feature on ESPN. titled The Franchise, and we'll be citing that or sourcing it throughout this this episode. He's a bright and precocious teenager. Hawkins created Stratomatic Knockoff and attempted to start a business around it. His next-door neighbor in California was former AFL president Milt Woodard, who gave Hawkins this opportunity to send a proposal to the game to none other than Kansas City Chiefs owner Lamar Hunt, who wrote back, "Beat it, kid." And Hawkins did not. He collected $5,000 in investment, and it totally flopped.
What, so he released it as like a board game?
He created it and tried to release it. And it wasn't a hit. A failure. So from there, he goes to Harvard, and he has this idea, and he's like, you know what? The reason it didn't work, math is not fun. It's hard. Nope. We'll get computers to do all the heavy lifting. And he programs a football sim for like one of the giant computers. And remember, this is the, late 70s. So computers are like, they fill rooms.
Still pretty big. In 60s, they filled rooms.
He programmed this for used tape data storage.
Oh, wow.
So like the storage alone, it took up a lot of space.
Yeah.
He graduates from Harvard. He makes up his own degree in strategy and applied game theory.
Wow.
Yep. No one's hiring that guy.
Funny you should say that. In 1978, right after college, he becomes one of the first 100 people to work at Apple.
Hey.
Where he makes millions in stock.
Where's that company going?
And uses about $200,000 of his vested stock to invest in Electronic Arts. So this is 1982, 4 years later.
Wow.
Time it takes to best.
So EA existed already at that point?
No. He's creating it in 1982.
Oh, I understand. With the money that he earned from
with
Apple.
Some of that money. I mean, you know, he's not going to put all of his money into it. But he is like, he's giving up a pretty good opportunity. He is the director of product marketing at Apple when he leaves. And this is like the cusp of the personal computing boom. So
it's surprising. That doesn't seem like a good fit. Like he seems like a programmer, like a game design, like doesn't marketing seems like a weird fit for him.
Not really. I mean, he's always, I mean, I think that's like kind of why he excelled, we'll get into, but he's somebody who like gets how things are made,
yeah,
but largely is a business mind.
Mm.
Anyway, by the end of 1982, he secures $2 million of venture capital. And this is what I mean when I say he's a business mind. During the funding period, he staffs up experts outside of games. So he has like some people from Atari, but it's also Apple and Xerox. He gets Steve Wozniak to join the board of directors. So it has a very adult approach, even though he's pretty young, in an industry that wasn't really known for that sort of methodology.
Sure.
Trivia. What name did Hawkins originally plan to use for the company?
Softo Games.
I'll give you a clue.
Yeah, okay.
It's two words, and the second word is software.
So I was close.
Yes.
Softo Games. I'm going to go with Tripped.
Thank you. That doesn't have software in it, so you didn't use
Trip
the clue.
Software! Trip
okay,
software!
There we go. The name is...
Hawksoft.
Nope. The name is Amazon Software. There's no G in that, Amazon.
Oh, like the Mets.
Interesting.
The Mets are also Amazon.
Yes. I guess that's why he couldn't use it. So
is there an apostrophe or no?
Electronic Arts. The games are pretty astounding. In 1983, so this is like right after they've been founded, they released Pinball Construction Set and Mule. MULE. In 85, they released Bard's Tale. 87, Skate or Die. So they're doing really well. They're doing especially well when you consider that the games industry essentially collapsed right when EA was founded. So that is pretty impressive. But so they have all these games. But really what Hawkins wants is that football game. That's what he's liked from the beginning. And I saw this quote sourced in Sports Illustrated and Wired. The real reason that I founded EA was because I wanted to make computerized versions of games like Stratomatic. So he left Apple, put $200,000 into his own company so he could make this thing, which is just wild. He does realize, because the industry is a mess, which, you know, maybe we'll get into that if we do a Nintendo Seal of Approval episode some point down the line.
Oh, ooh. Good idea.
He does realize you have to have more than the game. You have to kind of develop trust with the consumer. So he's like, I got to get a celebrity to make this a must-have purchase.
So, sorry, can I ask, like, at this point, obviously there have been a number of football games in the past.
There have, but we'll get into why those games stink.
Oh, come on, Tecmo Super Bowl.
Tecmo Super Bowl has not... I don't think Tecmo Super Bowl has come out yet.
In 87?
Let's keep going.
Okay.
We'll get to it. You're here we are. You're going to set the stage again.
Okay.
Lights down. Spotlight.
Bo Jackson.
Hawkins knows that he's a celebrity to get consumers to make this purchase. That's why, for his dream project, he wants none other than Joe Montana. Boom. Twist. Thank you.
Smart choice.
But Montana has a deal with Atari, so no luck. So he goes to his second choice, Joe Capp. Who can forget Cal coach Joe Capp? But Joe Capp, smart, was like, yeah, I want like a cut of what you make. And they're like,
yeah,
cool, no. So they go with their third choice, John Madden. That ESPN feature I mentioned paints Madden as something like a cigar-chomping goof. He basically sees the opportunity as like, oh, you'll make a video game, and it'll be a coaching tool, and we can use it to simulate plays. Which is smart. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, so you, to know a little bit about John Madden, at this point, he is retired from the NFL, but he had a 20-year career from basically the early 60s to the late 70s on coaching staffs in college football and the NFL, including a 9-year stint with the Oakland Raiders where he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This is from Wikipedia. Madden's overall winning percentage, including playoff games, ranks second in league history. He won a Super Bowl and never had a losing season as head coach.
Wow.
Which, to put it another way, he got out while he was on top.
Like, yeah, very
smart. He left
when
he was young.
He also, I feel like, and you might get into this, had the whole, like, all Madden thing.
Yeah.
He was known for, like, making his own, like, greatest hits team.
Yeah, I do not get into that. But
oh, okay. Yeah, I think that was sort of perception of him after he retired, is like he was a commentator, right? But obviously he also like had this level of expertise to the point where like people trusted him when he said, oh, this player is really good.
Yeah.
Which I guess gives him more value.
Which is interesting because in 79, right after he leaves the NFL, he goes into color commentary, which not a bad job. Obviously he did excellent with it, but you know, his skills could have gone in a number of directions that I think would probably have at that time taken advantage of his brain better. But I don't know, maybe at the same time, because he applied his knowledge there, it I think helped expand color commentary in sports. And he does that all the way till 2008, so he does it for a very long time. But weirdly, at the time of Madden's development, he's pretty well known for being the spokesperson for...
It's probably some cereal. It's always a cereal.
Nope. Fresh?
wait. Lowe's.
Close. Ace what? Hardware.
Ah, see, Ace I had Hardware. A feeling it was one of those, like, Home Depot.
Yeah, right before, what's his name? I don't think so, Tim.
I don't know. Tim...
Al Borland.
Oh, the other guy.
Yeah, he becomes like the face of Ace Hardware for a while.
All that plaid.
All that plaid. Anyway, back to development. Madden signs a contract and EA gets an old Oakland Raiders playbook from, like, for I believe the early 80s. It's missing all the passing plays.
Oh, no.
Plenty of other stuff. And EA producer Joe Ybarra and developer Robin Antonick had to find a game, essentially, in this. And here's the tricky part. Like, oh, whatever, we got Madden. He, like, gave us a little information. We got the name. Cool, we'll just make a football game like everybody else does. It'll have, I don't know, like, 6 or 7 people on each side. It'll auto-run plays. And Madden's like, no, if you're going to have my name on it, it has to be 11 on 11. It has to be a real version of football. And yeah, that is what differentiated it from the football games at the time.
From Tecmo.
I believe. I'm not an expert on Tecmo Bowl, so I don't want to commit to that. Mm-hmm. But I will say, at this time, that is a huge obstacle. Also, this is not even 88. This is, I believe, 85 is when they start. So yeah, Tecmo Bowl couldn't have been out because the NES is just coming out in America.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, that's definitely the way that history works.
I don't know when Tecmo came out.
Anyway, so this is a huge computing, like, obstacle for computing power at the time.
All those 11 characters, well, I guess 22 characters.
Yeah,
it's plus the coach on the sideline.
Yeah.
It's 24.
Plus the mascot and the, like, dogs in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
The game is being designed for Apple II. There are 4 colors, no sound. Development is a total slog. I mean, this is like the period of time where games were made by, you know, a couple of people in a few months, maybe a little over a year. Madden is starting to take years, plural, to the point where they're, like, not really sure how to just get it finished. So this is from IGN. The company hired Bethesda Softworks.
Mm.
Yes, the people now best known for Elder Scrolls and the modern Fallout games to finish the game. But this only got them partway to their goal, while EA used many of its designs, including contributions to their physics engine. Within a year, Bethesda stopped working on Madden and, stop when this gets familiar, sued EA.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Over EA's failure to publish new versions of Bethesda's Gridiron! Exclamation point football game.
Oh.
And they ended up settling out of court. So even 30 years ago, Bethesda Softworks was still
very
famously
litigious.
Suing everyone.
Madden puts, at this point, they're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do to actually get this game out the door? It has been
years. I also, one second, want to just mention, like, you talked about game physics for
yeah,
then, like, it's like, well, did this dot touch this other dot? So then the other dot stopped. That was physics. So, yeah.
Wow, way to really short sell.
Come on.
The incredible hard work of the people at Bethesda Software. So they're like, oh, how are we going to get this game out? Madden puts the EA squad in contact with a football beat writer for the San Francisco Examiner, Frank Cooney. And Cooney had, more nerds, made a football board game called Grid,
which is great branding, Cooney.
Numeric skill ratings. And he ends up being super helpful because they didn't have licenses. They just had the Madden name. So they're like, oh, well, we don't really have, like, football names, like, team names or player names. So Cooney did research to assign plays and stats to teams and players and gave them fake names. But they were, like, clearly inspired by their real-world counterparts. And that's kind of the finishing touch. That's the thing that's like, okay, now it feels like a real football game.
Did they just put, like, rhyming versions of their names in there?
I think there it's something like Joe Montana is like Fightin' Joe.
Joe Texas.
I'm sure, thinking, Joe. Yeah, it's like Jack Michigan or something.
It took me way too long to catch up to the goof. Jonathan Iowa. I too can goof. Okay, so the first game finally hits, and it's 1988. And that's it. And we never hear from them again. The end.
Goodbye, Madden.
Really
twist.
Good episode.
That's not the end. The game actually doesn't even look like Madden as we know it. It's way more sim heavy. But, you know, it's doing well. EA is doing well. So Hawkins goes to Madden and he's like, hey, you stuck with us through thick and thin. As a solid, I will let you buy literally as much EA stock as you want when we IPO. And this is from the ESPN piece. Madden said, hell, I'm just a football coach. I pointed with my finger, all knowing, and said, I give you my time. I'm not giving you my money. I showed him. From that piece, 1989 to 1999, EA's share price went from $7.50 to $70. Madden cites that as the dumbest thing I ever did in my life.
I mean, it was a risky, as you said, this is right after the games crash. Like, it's not like it would have been a lock for him.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, it's 1988, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so it's still, like, games hadn't.
They are not, like, a lock solid investment choice.
Mm. Yeah. But the game doesn't even really click. I mean, the game, Madden's not Madden when this happens. That happens 2 years later with the release of the Sega Genesis port, which I'll tell you a little bit about. It is made by a different team, Park Place Productions. It is significantly more arcadey. At the exact same time as they're producing this for the Genesis, Hawkins is like, I know what I'll do. I'll get a team to reverse engineer the Sega Genesis so we can not pay the licensing fee. Not great, Bob.
No, that's not good.
This is basically, he tries to pull this off, and they're obviously afraid that they will get sued. Everybody's like, hey, this is not a great idea. And like, what are you going to save? Sega normally charges $8 to $10 per game cartridge as their fee. Hawkins wanted $2 per game and a cap of $2 million. It's so like $2, and then at a certain point, you just don't get more.
Yeah.
Negotiations do. They're like, no, that does not work. Until Sega suddenly realizes, oh wait, they figured out how to reverse engineer the Genesis. They could go tell other publishers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they come back and they agree, and basically for the next 3 years of Madden, cited on that ESPN piece. That deal saved EA $35 million.
Wow.
Yeah, which at the time is staggering. Sega, at this point, has Joe Montana Football, ironically, as its big football game for the Genesis. It's delayed for Christmas of 1990. So they're like, hey, you know what? What if we just put Joe Montana Football on Madden? Which should be, you know, like, that's what Hawkins wanted from the beginning, right?
What does that even mean? Mon-
like, we would put, you have a Madden game ready, we'll put the Joe Montana Football brand on Madden, since our Joe Montana Football game isn't ready.
Oh,
we'll
and no one cares Madden. About Madden.
Yeah, we'll just call it that. And the EA is like, nope, we're committed to this, which is the right choice, because the first version of Madden on the Sega Genesis sells 400,000 units.
Wow.
Which is staggering at that time. It honestly ends up being a pretty big win for Sega. Even though they don't get all that money, it establishes the Genesis as the place for a football game, which is huge at the time and helps them bite into Nintendo's share of the market. Ironically, EA did not put Madden on the Sega Dreamcast, which would ultimately contribute to the death of Sega as a console maker.
Got him.
So got him. There's some weird symmetry there.
Hey guys, pardon the interruption. Just want to say, you might have heard that our sister site Vox just launched a show on Netflix. It's called Explained, and every episode is a 15-minute deep dive into one important topic. Okay, this week's episode is about K-pop, and I'm really upset that they did it, because it means maybe we won't be able to do an episode of it. But if you're interested in K-pop or you don't know anything about K-pop, this is a very good episode for you to check out. Very easy watch. As I said, it's only 15 minutes a pop, and they're produced with the like high-end work that Vox puts into all their videos. But it's on Netflix, so you can just watch it from your couch. You don't have to like boot up anything or do anything fancy. Highly recommend it. You can check it out. Pretty much all you have to do is search Netflix for Vox, or you can go straight to netflix.com/explained.
I got trivia for you. It's EA trivia. What other EA franchise began on a different console before finding its success on another console?
I'm sorry, say that again.
What I can see why this might be confusing. What EA franchise started on one console but didn't find success until appearing on a different console?
John Madden football.
That's what we just talked about.
I know.
What other?
Oh, what other?
Do you think I'm quizzing you?
That was
on
a trick
I'm
question.
Teaching?
I thought you were testing whether I was paying attention.
Oh boy, Alexa, do you have an answer?
I was gonna say, oh no, that's Activision. EA. What else does EA do? Like NBA Jam? Is that them?
Nope.
No.
That's Midway. Acclaim. Then. Well, I guess actually it does do. I was wrong. I was rude. They have done versions of NBA Jam in recent years.
Have they?
Thank
yeah,
you.
They did. They did the remake with the Monty Python heads. It's not that though. It's Need for Speed. It appeared on the 3DO.
And then came to the PC and was a big hit on PC.
A very different game. Yeah. So that's the origin story of Madden. From there, it grows and grows. It goes annual in 1990 with the Genesis release. In 1993, EA acquires the rights to the NFL teams and players.
Before 1993, none of them had the real names?
I believe that's correct, yeah.
Wow. Except for John Madden.
Who is not on the field.
The playable John Madden.
He's just commentary.
But his, like, creepy digital visage was in the game.
Yeah.
His plane-hating visage.
Do you want to explain that to people? Because it's not in my notes, but it is funny.
So he's afraid of flying. And if you're a sports commentator, travel's a pretty big part of the gig. So instead of flying to all the games, he just took a bus everywhere. It was the John Madden bus. And that thing must have been ripe, is all I'm saying.
The same year that
Oh, wait, I have a quick question.
Yep.
Is John Madden ever playable in a Madden game?
Did he ever play football? Didn't he play when he was younger?
I could have sworn he did, but like that's not a huge part of his career.
That would have been the like only venue in which he was playable as if it was like a retro team thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's large enough to play. I just don't know if he actually did.
Come on now.
He's a big guy.
Come on now.
He's huge.
Come on.
He's like 6'5" and like big.
Come on now. Come on.
I couldn't knock him over if I tried.
Come on now.
Russia.
Come on now.
Anyway.
In 1993, they acquired the NFL teams and players. Come on now. And changed the name from John Madden Football to Madden NFL. And during this period, a variety of outside studios handle Madden. Until 1997, when EA contracts... Name that studio, Fresh. I know you know this one. Come on.
In 1997?
1997, they contract.
Is it the studio that's now based in Tiburon?
Yes, Tiburon Entertainment. I love that you know where they're at and you didn't know their name.
I don't know what the original name was. I know they're EA Tiburon now.
Yeah, Tiburon Entertainment.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
They had like a hammerhead shark for a logo.
I didn't know that that's...
With leather football skin.
Okay, again.
Ew.
I don't know what the order of the episodes are, so that might not make any sense.
Sorry. 2001 is the first year Madden doesn't appear on the cover. Up until that point, it was either him or he shared it with an athlete.
Yeah, the cover photographer was actually... They were taking the photos on a plane, so there was really no way to do it.
Madden 2009 is the last year that Madden contributes commentary to the game.
Oh,
but man.
And I'll end it on this mystery, but it's like a thing that I saw popping up in a few different pieces that I cited above and some other ones too. Apparently, after Madden retired from doing commentary, he's become increasingly involved in the development of the game. Which
what
is the best?
It's
like
funny.
I couldn't find a ton of details about it, but I just choose to believe that every year he like just shows up more and more at the office, like eating just like whatever's in the snack room, like looking over people's shoulder and be like, oh, really? That's
I'm just picturing like programmers at their computers, and behind them you just see like the giant Madden bus roll in. They're all like, oh, we're almost done.
Not again.
He's like, ones and zeros. I mean, I know X's and O's. so that is my stuff. Allegra, do you want to cue the theme song for our next segment?
Oh, for reader-only memories?
Yeah,
no, the other segment.
Oh, cue okay. It up. Sorry, I wasn't sure which segment we were doing.
Allegra, do you have the file?
The file for the
theme
music?
Song?
I mean, you're going to put the beat under it.
Yeah, I'm going to put the beat on it. Okay. I'll send you the file now.
Okay.
Okay, you're loading it up, right?
I'm loading.
Okay. Play the file now.
Okay, this one's kind of a weird one that you sent me. Reader.
Pooch.
Only. Memories. Reader only memories.
Saturday night. Adam Sandler.
Don Bardo.
Musical guests.
This one is from at Infinity Agent. This I should have saved this one for last. You know, I'm going to come back to it. This will give people something to look forward to. This is from Water at Water Bananas. I don't play Madden a lot, but when I do, I always run the ball on the first play and score a touchdown, which my brothers are always shocked about, and then proceed to be offsides the rest of the game, especially when they're kicking the extra point. I love stuff like dumb Madden strategy. I am the person who always throws the Hail Mary on the first play and usually gets intercepted in modern Madden because it doesn't work as well. This is from at the Alucinot. Madden 94 is the first and most enduring memory I have of gaming with my father. I was 8 and he was able to beat me pretty easily. That didn't last long and I didn't stick with the series much longer, but I'll always be special for that little bubble of time.
Aww. I feel like, and I don't know if this is going to come up later, but I feel like the there were very few Madden games where you could mess with the ref, like tackle the ref.
Yeah, well, like, was it 94 or 95 where when a player got injured, a ambulance drove out onto the field?
Oh, yeah.
And hit
right,
people.
And it would like roll over other people.
Yeah, it was Whoa. Great. this is from at Wienerberg. _
Good name. Wienerberg was taken.
I like that Wienerberg was taken, and they went with _. Madden was huge in my school. In 7th grade, my friend beat me like 45-7. He was Packers. I was the Vikings. They live in Wisconsin, naturally. So Donnie. I practiced all summer. In the first week of the new year, I beat him 56-0, and it felt great. Great Madden stories I've got.
Yeah, if you like know Madden, I don't know again how true this is still, but like in that early era or even into the 2000s, like if you knew the three plays that worked, there was nothing that could be done. Like you just had no recourse.
Okay, are you ready for my favorite?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From at Infinity Agent. One second, I'm gonna take a sip of water.
So much buildup.
John Madden lives in my hometown, and the only thing I knew about him as a kid was that his house was the house to go trick-or-treating.
Hell yes,
of
full
course.
Bars.
When I played a Madden game for the first time, it blew my young mind that the content wasn't Halloween-related.
That's very funny. Man, that candy sitch must be... primo
baller.
I mean, I would hope. I'm amazed that he made it there, because you figure, you know, scheduling that bus wise,
it's October,
you're right in the middle of the football season, and here you are having to drive from one game to your house to give out the real good candy and then back to another game.
But at least they always had uniforms for costumes to wear. He could just steal the uniforms from the games and then wear that as a costume. Like, hey, I'm a football player now. I'm not a coach. Okay, let's end the episode. thank you, Chris Plant. That was lovely.
Thank you.
As usual. Thank you to everyone at home for listening to The History of Fun, where we explore the hidden backstories behind the things you love to do. As always, review us and follow us on Twitter. You know that info. I don't need to say it again, but if you haven't, do it. Anyway, we will be back next week for more History of Fun. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.